Hello all. You have just tuned in to the 13th episode of the Audible Weed Walk, and this is Nina. This is the 13th episode and today is Friday. Don't be scared. There is nothing scary about weeds. Weeds are our friends that we didn't get introduced to erstwhile. I'm going to take a step back and talk about something else, which I kind of touched upon in other podcast about the methodologies of science, about science and what we are doing in Weed Walk and what our ancestors have done in figuring out how to eat, what to eat from the wild, how to process them. These are all science. Now, for me, science per se, which is a methodical inquiry about social, biological, or other processes, involves some basic tenets, you know, observation, question, hypothesis, experiment, analysis, and conclusion. Though all these different aspects that I just read out, that may not be exactly what art follows, but I find science and art very close together. Why? For example, if you are drawing, if you're an artist and drawing, say, an eye, and you want that eye to be as realistic as possible, or if you are making it graphical, or, you know, some kind of a reflection of what you want to project. In order to do that, you have to have a very good understanding of the texture that you want to project, the lighting, the underlying bone structure of the creature you are actually painting. And this stands for all form of art and not just painting, like, you know, of course, sculpture, but including also performance arts. You know, when a performer is actually projecting themselves to be somebody else, you know, whether it's an animal, plant, another human, the best performer is the one who can forget who he or she is and actually be that person or be that character. We have a name for it. We hear a lot about method acting, you know, where the actor or, you know, they get into the kind of the shoes of the or the feet of the character they are trying to project, which means for that time period, they become that person. That ability to merge your identity to something else is amazing. I find it spiritual, and I find science similar. So science and art, and the art of culinary art also, where you are actually transforming something that has come from earth and you are making it so palatable to another living form, it's also very integrally science. So science per se, you know, what we call science, art, culinary art, and the art of growing, I'm not just growing, but acquiring, procuring, and growing food. And along with that, they are very closely related to each other and to ethics. This last bit, ethics, the ethical dimension of both science and all these, we sometimes kind of oversee. And that's the there's a problem to it. You know, we slip in our individual lives, and our individual slips then becomes common, and it becomes a collective, you know, slips. And then it becomes a community, and it grows to the extent that we find in this world very normal that indigenous people are removed from their land, from their forest. Forests are shaved down to mine coal in one part of the country, in one part of the world, and tar sand in another part of the world. And we are just okay about it. And that has a compounding effect on our environment and on ourselves as an individual. So, knowing how important it is, we will touch upon a bit about scientific attitude. But before that, here is a weed walk. So we will go what I had actually started doing several times in podcasts but never completely finished, is go through how with a observation of the weed, you can follow the entire scientific method. So for example, you observe a plant that volunteered or pop up on its own in a pot that you have designated for some another plant. You observe, how does it look? Does it have cotyledons like the beans or not? You notice the leaf shape, the leaf margin, how it is arranged, like on the stalk, how it is, you know, is it opposite to each other or it's kind of staggered? Sometime you have to wait for the real leaf to appear to or to mature. They may look quite different from when it started off. In our example, suppose what you have found is a plant which is Alternanthera sessilis, which is our Punnangani, which you are quite familiar with. If you know if you give your attention to the plant, you may suddenly notice other places this similar looking plant or the same plant is coming up too. You may think, but not sure that the places that are maybe a little moist, or maybe I'm noticing them around stagnant pool of water or somewhere where the pipe is leaking. But you're not sure. You have just kind of observed that it is maybe there is a pattern to which where these plants are appearing. So here you have a question. Do weedy edible plant, in this case Punnangani, prefers moist areas than any other habitat to grow? So that's your question, which is itself is the second step in science. You're following me? You have already had observation and a question. So based on that, you can form what is called a null hypothesis. So your null hypothesis will be Punnangani has no preference for any particular habitat for growing. So if your study rejects this null hypothesis, you will conclude Punnangani surely has a preference of habitat. And with further analysis, you can also conclude maybe that it prefers moist places. So only if you can reject null hypothesis, you can say that. Remember that. For experiments, you can do two things. You can have several beds of different kind of soil and moisture combination and plant Punnangani in all of them and observe how they grow. Or you can also make sample sites that are different in terms of habitat and moisture and count and observe Punnangani plants growing there. You can take notes on, is Punnangani growing in that habitat? How many plants are growing? What are their condition? Do they look lush or are they struggling? What kind of habitat and soil this is happening? Then perhaps you can do a simple correlation to see which habitat Punnangani is the most prolific and lush. And your conclusion would be easy to draw. If you are really doing this seriously, you will test for each habitat condition separately. That it is one experiment, you will offer different soil types to Punnangani and you will do the study. In another, you will test for various moisture condition. You can also combine this and do some tests. The possibilities are many. So those who can take the study further will not just see this, how prolific the plants are. They will test the nutritional condition. They will actually test, take the plants from each of these different conditions and test them nutritionally to see which are actually, which kind of condition are making them grow more nutritious. So, wow, this little Punnangani, you can still do so much of study and get to know it's so much more better than we know it today. This is science. There are other a few key features of science that are so integral that it has not come up in the little science mem that you will see in the podcast that is posted when it is posted. That is, science has to be communicated and it has to be shared, and this should be replicable. That is, science must be shared, and detailed information, how you have arrived at the conclusion, must be communicated to all. So much so that another person sitting who doesn't know you, sitting somewhere else, who has never met you, reading your communication, and if they actually try the same exact thing, should get the same exact result with a little, you know, margin, of course. So this is called replicable. And a very important character of science is that now or later, the theory or the conclusion in the light of the new understanding may change, may prove what you have found to be wrong. And a good scientist, like a prudent human being, will learn from it and proceed. So science is never the ultimate, which, you know, often in our kind of regular and political discourses, we kind of say, oh, you know, the science. But then, you know, science itself is a progressive process. Like our weeds, actually. One weed you find in one, you know, the next season, something else has taken over. Science is not a recent phenomena. Early groups of hunter-gatherers also did science, like we had, you know, discussed. I had talked about this, and if you want, you can check that out. So once science has established something, the rest of us can reap the benefit of the result. There is a phrase, no need to reinvent the wheel. We can learn from others' study, and we can enhance it and take it forward. Have you noticed? Communication is key to science. Sharing is key to science. If you have made a greatest discovery and you do not share with anybody at all, then, you know, basically it doesn't progress, and there, and also it doesn't have the, you know, character of science. So all of us who uses conclusion drawn by science, by early ancestors or recent colleagues, also need to have something that we share with the scientist. It's called the scientific attitude. Lee McIntyre had written an amazing book called Scientific Attitude, Defending Science from Denial, Fraud, and Pseudoscience. You might be thinking, well, having an attitude is not always a bad thing, but what is this scientific attitude? I have included a meme, two memes actually, for that too. Check it out when this podcast is published. See, all of us are scientists within. If not, we could not have used knowledge that are established by work of others. Curiosity that leads us to learn something new leads us to science and follow the fruits of science. So the first attitude is curiosity. Now, something we may be too trusting when a friend says, you know, this is a tradition, or I have a book, or maybe nowadays it's, you know, I received a WhatsApp message or somebody's blog. It is actually the responsibility of individuals to remain a bit discerning. Being skeptical is the second attitude. Being skeptical is not mean cynical or doubting everything or everybody, but it also important not to be gullible where you believe everything. So kind of commonsensical is a good way to describe it. On this assumption, someone tells a few scientific name and some plants, and you think, you know, they are good for this, you know, you'll get a white tooth, or your, you know, feet feels lighter if you have this. And we sometimes actually take it at a face value. We too quickly believe that. It is up to us to actually research, inquire, and find out before we completely embrace it. So the last one which is the most important tenet in having scientific attitude, is humility. This includes gratitude and acknowledgement. Science and scientists, that we all are greatly benefiting from this attitude. If I have the humility of being a learner, learning from nature, from people, from experience, from people who have more or less educational qualification than me, and who I do not hesitate to acknowledge, is a scientist. One who appropriates other people's work, forgets the humility, and fails to acknowledge, doing a great disservice, not just to science, but to themselves. At some level, they are closing the door of learning for themselves. I had this experience even with our edible weed venture. I had people who actually copied and pasted my entire post from Facebook, and have published as their own. Some of them have actually changed the photographs from the color to black and white. Have done some maneuvering. I had people who had been in the weed box, who had privately asked me questions, diligently learned about something that they were unaware of before, could not figure it out themselves. Then they had the, beautifully posted it in their website or videos about the range of edible weeds, for example, or a particular plant without a trace of acknowledgement. Question is, do I stop sharing because of that? My scientific attitude and humility would propel me to learn and progress. I'll be cautious, of course, but I can only be sorry for those who could not find the humility enough to acknowledge. Science is always like passing the baton in a relay. I won't call it a race, but it's still a relay. Races, I find it's unidirectional. But from science, from one passing of the baton, it can go in many directions, depending on who you are taking the baton for you. So we cannot build without someone else building before us. We cannot progress without somebody else carrying it on from where we have reached to beyond that point in various different directions. This is its beauty. That is science. And that is life. With that thought, let's have a scientific discourse about a particular weed next week. Maybe I'll also share a recipe then. And good luck, and stay well, and stay safe. Take care.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.